Well, good morning. Welcome to a busy edition, another one, because it's a busy season electorally, of course. South Carolina polls just opened, and we are into the show with you, and we're glad you're with us this morning. Thanks for being here. Lots going on. We have Jerome's over there making sure the bells and whistles are working good. The transmitter is transmitting brightly. Hope your radios are turned up because we have a power-packed show for you. We're going to be talking in the next hour with Gregory Wrightstone. As we're seeing the Rivian truck people cut back on the manufacture of their electric trucks, we're seeing other manufacturers cutting back. He's written a book about a very convenient warming, a little takeoff on an inconvenient truth. You know that? Virginia Crudo join us later in that hour. At 8:06, the great Gabe Pfeiffer from Mike Ferguson in the Morning will join us to weigh in on the various topics of the day. I have a list of if you're watching us on Rumble or on the Facebook feed. Here, look at this. I'm going to show you. Look at the list of topics I have, Jerome. I don't know whether we can get through it all in 3 hours. You think Bob and Eric will step aside and give me another hour so I can cover all the topics?
You deserve
let's
it.
Let's give them a call. I don't know. welcome into the show. Gabe Pfeiffer, like I said, will be with us. And I want to talk with Gabe later about what's going on in this country. I awoke this morning, as I usually do, between 4:30 and 5 o'clock, and headed to the studio, the in-lair studio. I'm broadcasting from the Liberty Lair, of course. The well-provisioned, high-fenced, an absolutely self-sufficient compound somewhere in rural Missouri. Jerome, if I told folks where it was, the people in the helicopters might find us, so I keep its location very, 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 very concealed. But as I got up this morning at 4:30, I woke up to the fact that my brother, who runs a small church in, in the exurbs of St. Louis, I'm not going to say anymore, had a theft at his little church, a little upstart church. They do church in a remodeled and well-equipped garage attached to a house, and they had a theft. He's got the perps on tape. That pales in comparison to what happened with Lake and Riley in Georgia, a co-ed there who was out for a run Thursday morning. Police later found her dead on the University of Georgia campus. We see lootings indiscriminately going on across our country. And I think we're witnessing potentially the death of a society. We might be witnessing it before our eyes. That all occurring, of course, culturally in the background of an election that's going on. 23 House Republicans have either resigned or not running for re-election. It's the same thing. A few more proportionally Democrats out. It seems as though there's a malaise of true leadership and true virtuous leadership in this country. I don't know if we're going to get it back. Lake and Riley went out for a run. 22-year-old nursing student. She goes out for a run, and police have charged Jose Antonio Ibarra with malice murder, felony murder, aggravated battery, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, kidnapping, hindering a 911 call, and concealing the death of another, according to UGA, that's University of Georgia, Police Chief Jeffrey L. Clark. Said that in a briefing last evening. Guess what, Jerome? I got big news for you. Big surprise on this alleged perpetrator of this heinous crime.
Lay it on me.
You think he's from... Where are you from?
I'm from Joliet, but I'm sure this individual
is from... Yeah, that's right. You think he's from Joliet? Think he went to high school with you, Jerome?
Of course, he's from a nice gated community out in Naperville, of course.
Oh, you got it, brother. Absolutely. This guy, yeah. No, he's a Venezuelan illegal alien. Will we please stop using the word Fox News, AP, of course, CNN, MSNBC use it. Migrant, will you stop using that word? That's a generic term. It may be technically accurate. It doesn't describe the blatant, heinous, indiscriminate breaking of America's sovereign borders. But you know what? You come from the great People's Republic of Illinois originally. I'm glad you've escaped, Jerome. I mean, don't you feel free? Don't you feel like, you know, flying your Gadsden flag every day? Maybe put it on your antenna on the car.
That's going to be my next license on cars. My next license plate's actually going to have that on there. That's how much I appreciate Missouri.
There you go. Well, Mr. Pritzker, the Joker, who's the governor of Illinois, you know, he thinks we need to take a different tack on these illegals because they're just coming here for asylum to work and to prosper and to be a part of the great American dream. Clip four. Listen to this.
Maybe some of you think that we should just say this is not our problem and that we should let the migrant families starve or freeze to death. But that's not what decent Midwesterners do. That's not what leaders do. We didn't ask for this manufactured crisis, but we must deal with it all the same. With our partners in Cook County and the city of Chicago.
Okay, that's him talking about the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, talking about what has come to the streets of Chicago, just like Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, whines about what's come to some 100,000 now illegals, criminals. They have broken the sovereign law and borders of these United States. They are not simply good people looking for a better life. They may be that, and you can be that, but, well, you can't be a good person. You can be a person looking for a better life, but you are still a crook. You're still a lawbreaker. Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, whining after they proudly waved the flag of sanctuary cityness. Where's the humanity? Well, Pritzker, I'd love for you to meet with the parents of Lake and Riley. Why don't you have some tea with them? Just have a little crumpets and tea with them. Discuss with them how we need to understand these migrants. I mean, after all, these illegals are just they're just people looking for a better life. Now, you know, it occurs to me, I went to a pachyderms meeting at the local pachyderms meeting in Columbia yesterday afternoon. They meet every Friday at noon. And it's a small group of people. They meet there in Dickie's Barbecue off Forum Boulevard, just off of Providence and Alpha Stadium. And, you know, it's very interesting. Jerome, you know, I was a little late and I backed the truck up and, you know, it was a spot that was relatively close. And I didn't see any, you know, blue handicap stuff on there. So I pulled it up and got out of the truck, backed it into the spot because I knew I'd get back to the office quickly when the meeting was over. And, you know, as I walked around the back of the truck and headed into old Dickie's Barbecue, guess what I saw there on the line? It said 10-minute parking only. I hadn't seen that because it was painted, just a little, you know, 20-inch by 4-inch little painted thing on the pavement. I don't know. I don't know about you, Jerome, and I don't know about you people listening. I think I do know about you folks listening. You would probably move your truck. That's what I did. Because I saw some direction told me that wasn't a proper place for me to be because I was going to be there more than 10 minutes. Because I learned, I was blessed with my nuclear family because, you know, when my mom and dad had me, we didn't have a welfare system. The great welfare state hadn't come about. There wasn't a hammock instead of a safety net for people. So if you wanted to break the law, if you didn't want to have if you wanted to just make babies and have other people pay for them, and you didn't want to have a mom and dad in the house and, you know, just sort of raise the kids. And if life goes south, don't worry, the state will take care of it. Oh, that means other taxpayers. And I was taught to try to respect authority and try to obey the law. We disobey the law now because the law has become so crazy. You disobey the law all the time unknowingly. But when you know, I was taught you just don't knowingly breach authority. You just don't do that. Those societal lanes were established in these United States. And under progressive rule, they've been widened to infinity now. The lanes of proper conduct, the 95% limits, if you will, have been widened to eternity. The bell curve of normal behavior is now flat. There's no curve anymore. It's flat because there's no standard median expected behavior with some deviation on either side of it, which is tolerated in a free country. But freedom comes with restrictions, meaning you don't take other people's stuff. You don't touch them unknowingly, although I happen to be a hugger. I'm guilty of that. Once in a while I hug. Or I'll touch someone on the shoulder. I shouldn't do that. I know. Sorry. Forgive me. It's out of love. You don't assault people. You don't take their stuff. And this precious young lady, 22 years old, who aspired to be a nurse, is now dead because Joe Biden, the squad, 200 and some odd Congress people, 51 or 2 or 3 or how many now senators, and almost 50% of the electorate think it's okay to just let people indiscriminately come across our border. Well, you know what? The next time you guys want to talk to us people who love our guns because we want to be able to defend ourselves, and you tell us that we have blood on our hands when there's a shooting, take it inside. Look in the mirror. Those of you who back illegal immigration and in any way, shape, or form justify anything but a hard stop at the southern bank of the Rio Grande, not the northern bank, check your hands. Look at them. It's going to take a lot of soap to wash them off. It's got me infuriated. You look at the pictures of this young lady. She's going to be a nurse and serve how many countless people in their time of need. And she's dead because she went out for a run. If that doesn't get you warmed up and fired up this morning to fight for what's right in this country, I don't know what will. Looks like the voters of South Carolina are going to be voting for Donald Trump for president, if nothing else, for all his faults, character-wise. I think he's going to make a really good stab at returning some sanity to the border. If nothing else, that alone is enough to say, hey, let's get this guy in the Oval Office. Let's get some Congress people and some senators to do the right thing. And let's start to turn the ship of this country around, because we're headed towards a big iceberg that's going to sink us faster than the Titanic. And a lot more people are going to die. And I mean it in the meantime, if we don't. Well, with that prelude, we'll step aside. By the way, we're going to invite your calls on all the topics we have to talk about this morning. 314-912-1019, 314-912-1019, on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Randy Tobler. There's Jerome. We are the Tobler Show. Be back in a minute.
Randy Tobler, truth warrior, woke destroyer, on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the program. You know, once in a while, you get to talk to an individual, a primary source, an eyewitness, someone actually involved in a heinous activity. Back on October 7th in Israel, remember that folks had their lives turned upside down. Some of their lives' flames were snuffed out by Hamas terrorists. Well, recently, one of the people who lived in a kibbutz had recently arrived at a kibbutz there, right on the Gaza-Israeli border, before October 7th, ended up having and living through that with his family, that whole horrible morning on that Saturday morning in October. He's traveling through the states, and he was coming through Columbia recently and speaking at Missouri University student center there. And I got a chance to talk with him. We decided not to bring him on our Columbia show before the talk, because you know what happens with the active pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas terrorists. They're roughing up speakers and shouting them down. And so we recorded a little two-part interview, and I want you to just pull up a chair, close your eyes, just think about the horror that he and his family experienced and his thoughts about what's going on there now in terms of, for once and for all, getting rid of Hamas. It's a two-part interview. Here's the first part of that with Mr. Gal Cohen-Salal. Take a listen. Well, it's a great pleasure to introduce you to a survivor of the carnage that occurred on October 7th in Israel, at the border of Gaza and Israel. Mr. Gal Cohen-Salal joins us now, and he is a survivor of that event, an Israeli Jewish man on a speaking tour throughout the states. We're doing this ahead of an event that he's speaking at tonight at Missouri University. Why are we doing it ahead of the time? Because we didn't want bad guys to try to wreak the havoc that bad guys will do. And we saw that in Jefferson City just a week or so ago at the AIPAC meeting. We are talking to him ahead of a talk tonight. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about your family, where you live, the situation on October 6th.
So we just moved to a village called Reim on October 1st. It's a very nice place, very quiet place with a very nice community.
A kibbutz?
Yeah, it's a kibbutz. Actually, it's a kibbutz.
What happens in a kibbutz?
What do you mean?
Is it a communal type of a...
Yeah, it's a social community.
Okay.
Where most of our salary goes to the community.
Okay.
Bring the money to sharing the money.
Okay.
Yeah, we just moved there on October 1st.
Mm-hmm. From where?
From a different kibbutz,
okay.
Actually.
Okay.
So it was me, it's me, it's my wife, Ayana, and we have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
So we plan to establish our life in Reim. We were about to build a house over there. Very nice place, very quiet place, friendly place. We really enjoyed. We were very happy to move and start our life there.
How close to the Gaza border was it?
It's about 3 miles from the Gaza border, something like that. Yeah, it is close.
And give our listeners a sense of the kind of an environment that you feel in terms of safety and security. Again, we're thinking October 6th now.
Yeah, so in Reim, every now and then, we had shooting rockets from Gaza towards Kibbutz Reim. But pretty much till October 6th, this is what we had over there. We had nothing more than that. We weren't afraid of terrorists entering the kibbutz or something like that. Every time that we had rockets coming toward us and we heard the sirens, we went into our safe room in the house and pretty much we waited till it will end.
So that was normal to expect rockets to come. And yeah, to have a warning. How much warning before you needed to be in the safe space?
So we got about 15 seconds. It's nothing much. Wow. Pretty much you have to gamble. Once I have twins. I picked them and we couldn't make it all the way to the safe room. You don't have much time in the first time. And then after that, you're waiting in the safe room. Until someone will send a message that everything is okay and you can get out of the safe room. But it was pretty normal. We got used to it. In the area of Gaza envelope, we were used to it for the rockets. It's a sad thing to say, but we got used to it.
So you had a known level of threat that you were comfortable with and you had moved into.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We thought that at some point it will stop. We never thought about something worse than that.
What happened on that fateful morning? October 7th.
Around 6:30, something like that, they will start to shoot rockets on us. We heard lots of siren. We opened the television and we saw that there were plenty of rockets all over Israel. All over our kibbutz, it wasn't something normal. We weren't prepared for it. I went to the safe room with my three kids. I told my wife, go arrange a suitcase. We are leaving as soon as possible until things will get calm. We waited and we wanted to leave the kibbutz. We start to hear shots. Like from machine guns and rifles.
Automatic rifle.
Yeah, PKKs, wow. RPGs. At the beginning, we thought we heard it from a bit far from us, and I thought it's our army that trying to hit the terrorists that shooting rockets on us. And the shots start to come towards us. Around 7:30, I asked the guy that is in charge of my neighborhood if it's possible that I will leave the kibbutz. I got a suitcase with bags with things for my kids and for my wife. We want to leave.
The essentials. You wanted to get out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Till things will get calm. Until things will get calm, let's leave the kibbutz and we will come back The day after, we'll go to my parents or something like that. So at 7:30, I asked him if it's possible that I will leave. So, and he told me, no way. Stay at your safe room. There is a fear that terrorists enter the kibbutz.
So the authorities in the kibbutz knew that they were on the ground.
They knew that they're all around. It's the first time that my life and my wife and kids' lives been saved, because at 7:30 they already been out of the kibbutz. They already been there on the roads. So 100% that they would have killed us.
If you would have left and been on the road.
100%. If this guy that was in charge of my neighbor would have told me, Gal, this is fine, you can leave, I would have gone out, and 100% they would have killed us. Not me, I'm saying us. All right. My kids, my wife.
God is good, eh?
Hey, on this day, it depends who you're asking, but for me, yeah, few times.
I mean,
few times.
So that is chilling.
That was the first time. 100% because we've been in the safe room for 30 hours and then we left the kibbutz and I saw what went out of the kibbutz. I saw so many burnt car and bodies. We will go there. And then I understand that 100% they would have killed us.
We hear about women raped, people beheaded, babies burned, just horrific, unbelievable, unimaginable carnage. Did anyone in your kibbutz, Rahim, suffer those kind of ends?
So,
and I know next, this is tough for
next
you to talk about.
To kibbutz Rahim, the Nova Festival took place. All right, it was a very big festival around 4,500 people over there.
Music festival,
yeah. Some of the people, when the tourists came, they start to attack the Nova Festival as well. Many of the people tried to escape to Reim. Reim was the nearest kibbutz. There is evidence that three women from this festival tried to enter one of the houses. They entered one of the houses in Reim. The terrorists came and one after another raped them. I'm not talking about one, two, or three terrorists. I'm talking about dozens. And after they finished, they murdered those three women. There is evidence, there is photos. Lucky me, I didn't saw those photos. The guy that took the photos, he took the photos to the police. But there is evidence that 100% it happened in our kibbutz. There is few kids that been shot as well. There is they pretty much they didn't really care. There was no soldiers in kibbutz Reim. People need to understand that it was pure civilians. We were only civilians in all the ages, from 3 years old till 90. They didn't care. They start to burn houses with kids inside. Well, they didn't know that there is kids. They just start to burn the house.
Indiscriminate terrorism without regard for who.
Not at all. They didn't look well. In Gaza envelope, there is army bases and there is the villages, the kibbutzim. They went all over those places, army bases. They killed everyone in the army bases and they killed pretty much everyone in the kibbutzes, in the kibbutzim around. And it was pure civilians. There was no one soldier in those kibbutzes.
We're talking with Gal Cohen Salal, a Hamas attack survivor from October 7th on Wake Up Mid-Missouri. What do you have to say to those who are Hamas sympathizers who say that everything that you're reporting is just made up, it's just Israeli propaganda?
First of all, I have movies with me that those things happened. All right, people are saying maybe two or three terrorists entered kibbutz Reim. I have videos, camera footage videos that can show you that the hundreds of terrorists entered the kibbutz. I saw burned houses inside the kibbutz. You cannot imagine that. You cannot create those kinds of things. I know the people that been shot. I know that people that I know people that have been kidnapped. We are not lying. You can never create something like that. You can never think about something like that by yourself. You need very good imagination to do that.
Okay. And you said, again, if you're just joining us, you reported that had you made a different decision and left the safe room there in your house and gone out on the road, you would have been a victim. And so would your wife and children.
100%.
What's going on with your children and your wife now? What's going through their head after this? What did it do to them emotionally?
The thing is that the terrorists came. All right, I will say something about when we've been in the safe room for 30 hours. The terrorists tried to enter my house. All right. The house was locked. They could have kicked the door and opened it, but they chose not to. So they start to shoot on my front door.
Shooting?
Yeah. And on my windows, we heard everything. My kids start to scream. We had to strangle them. I had to put my hands on their mouth so they will not scream. We are...
How old are they?
I have twins, which are 4.5 years old, and I have little Jonathan, he's 3 years old.
Terrified.
Yeah, you cannot even imagine. I wasn't afraid of my life. I was afraid of my kids' life. At some point, I thought that if the terrorists will enter my house, I will get out of the safe room, so they will kill me or kidnap me. Mm. But they will say they will leave my kids aside. We know there is the Bibas family. It's in a different kibbutz. The father tried to do that, so they kidnapped him. And after that, they came back and kidnapped his wife and his both kids. They're still hostages in Gaza. We are praying to have them back.
We're talking with Gal Cohen Salal, a Hamas attack survivor from October 7th on Wake Up Mid-Missouri.
So what does it... I will say what it did to my kids. My kids, they understood the situation. And now they're using psychologists to help them.
Yeah.
They're 3 years old. You need to understand that 3 years old going to a psychologist.
Yeah, of course. Who's providing the help? Is the government helping support some counseling?
Yeah. There is many people in our nation that trying to help, that want to help for free and doing it without money. But the government do help us, provide us. We're not allowed to go back to Kibbutz Re'im until 2025. The kibbutz is being destroyed and there is war being held at the moment. Mm-hmm. So at least for 1 year, we're not allowed to go back to our kibbutz. So the government help us with a place to be and psychologist and some funds.
Let's take a break from this now, and we'll play the rest of this interview when we come back from the break. But this is Gal Cohen Salal, who's touring the United States to tell the story of what happened on October 7th. That has been forgotten as the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protesters become more strident, more violent, more vocal and physical with their pleas to defend terrorism. We have domestic terrorism in the form of indiscriminate property and personal assaults. We've got to do something about bringing sanity to personal behavior, ladies and gentlemen. Whether it's in Israel, whether it's in Ukraine, whether it's the atrocities in China, now a co-ed in Georgia killed because she went out for a run by an immigrant who doesn't respect borders. I don't know. I'm praying a lot for some change, some God-led change in spirits of people across the globe. We'll hear what Mr. Cohen Salal had to say about how far Israel should go in snuffing out Hamas when we come back from a break. It's 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Stay tuned for more.
We're talking with Gal Cohen Salal, a Hamas attack survivor from October 7th on Wake Up Mid-Missouri.
So what does it... I will say what it did to my kids. My kids, they understood the situation. And now they're using psychologists to help them. Yeah. They're 3 years old. You need to understand that 3 years old going to a psychologist.
Yeah, of course. Who's providing the help? Is the government helping support some counseling? Yeah.
There is many people in our nation that trying to help, that want to help for free and doing it without money. But the government do help us, provide us. We're not allowed to go back to Kibbutz Re'im until 2025. The kibbutz is being destroyed and there is war being held at the moment. Mm-hmm. So at least for 1 year, we're not allowed to go back to our kibbutz. So the government help us with a place to be and psychologist and some funds.
Some of the reporting we've heard surrounds reports that some of the folks like you who were in the middle of the attack had some problems with lack of security and the fact that it occurred. How are your feelings about the security before the attack? And what are your feelings so far about the response to the attack? You mentioned you know a family that has hostages now in Gaza.
Well, we thought that it's safe enough. No one thought that more than 3,000 terrorists will break the border between us to Gaza and enter Israel. And they did it in purpose in one of our holidays. We thought that we are safe. We weren't safe. Honestly, I waited that army troops will come to help us in the kibbutz. But I didn't know that already they have war in other sites, in their bases and everything.
Do you think the government was too complacent before October 7th?
What is
about the complacent, too secure with the rockets coming and that's where it was going to stop? Should there have been more?
Yeah, I think so. We got used to it instead of, you see, if you use your more strength and you show that you are not afraid, I'm pretty sure that they would have stopped long time ago, but we didn't. We didn't show enough courage to stop that years ago, and they continued with that. Unfortunately, they thought that they weren't afraid from us, not as they were supposed to.
As you know, maybe you don't, but in America, there's a big debate going on right now. And it sort of is a two-sided debate, peace through strength and more stay out of entanglements. And President Biden initially was very supportive of full-throated support for Benjamin Netanyahu and a full-throated attack in Gaza to eliminate Hamas from the face of the earth. That's now showing some wavering on the part of President Joe Biden. He said the other day that he thought that the response from Israel was over the top. Do you feel as though they should continue, even at the cost of some Palestinian Gazans? Or should there be a negotiated peace and a ceasefire? Do you have an opinion?
We have no other choice. All right, we need to eliminate the Hamas. There is no doubt. The only thing we can, if we want to go and live there, we need to eliminate the Hamas. It's not our fault that the Hamas hide behind kids, babies. They're going to hospital. They're using the United Nations buildings. They're using hospitals to fire rockets from there and to fight against the Israeli forces from there. They're not like, they're like, I will say that they are cowards. Instead of going and facing us face to face, they prefer to hide behind women and babies. So it's very hard for us to fight. We're trying to do our best. I know that the Israeli forces trying to do their best not to eat civilians. This is why we have many soldiers that been killed. I knew that it will take long time, this war. Well, I didn't thought like Biden or I don't know that it will take 1 month. It takes time. It's very chirurgic. Unless otherwise, the other option is pretty much to demolish everything, all the Gazas, all over Gaza. You need, like, there is two solutions. Or you will do it very chirurgic and it will take time, or you will do it as fast as you can, and then we will kill the lots of civilians. But we don't want to kill civilians. This is not our main goal. This is not our goal at all. Our goal is to eliminate the Hamas and to free Palestine from the Hamas as well. It will be good for them as well. They will start to build a very normal place to live instead of what they're having now.
Is your anger towards Hamas and its sympathizers, or towards all of the people inhabiting Gaza?
Both. You need to understand that the Hamas also is holding all the educational schools and everything. So since Palestinian kid knows how to read, he can read many bad things about Israel. All right, so there is a big propaganda against Israel since kid is 6 years old. So this is why, first of all, we will take care of the Hamas. I think if someone else will come and will start everything from the beginning, it will be different. I know people from Gaza. You need to understand that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, people from Gaza, from all over Gaza, came to work in Israel. All right, we have a very good relationships with them, right? Until the Hamas came, and they changed everything. All right, we are looking for peace. We don't want, we're not looking for anything else. I want peace for my kids.
It's interesting that you said that it hasn't always been like this between the people living in Gaza.
No,
until Hamas started indoctrinating.
Exactly, they came to work on our fields, our crops, in our chicken houses, everything. We know people, if you will go to the older people in Gaza Strip, they will tell you that what they've done and how they've used to work in Israel. It's not like that since the Hamas came.
Okay, well, again, we want to thank you for being with us. Gal Cohen Solal.
Yeah,
you we got want to it. Thank Randy. You for being with us.
We're
pre-recording this again before your speech tonight at the MU Student Center. And we're doing it because we did not want to put this on the air beforehand. Have you encountered on your tour, have you encountered a lot of resistance, protesters, any threats?
No, yet. I just arrived 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that people, when I have lectures, the people not publish it all over the university, for example, because they are afraid of resistance. I don't really afraid.
That after what you've been through?
Yeah, exactly. It's part of the job. We're not.
Well, you're courageous. You're courageous. And we thank you for
thank
sharing
you
the story.
Much,
How
friendly.
Can listeners support the cause?
Of course, there is an organization that brought me here to the United States. The name of the organization is Faces of October 7th.
Faces of October 7th.
Yeah. They are the one that bring me here to share my story. I have Da with me. She can explain a bit about the organization.
Let's quickly get that information out there. Thank you.
All right. Well, wanted you to hear that. It aired a week or so ago, and that talk that night was attended with some vigorous protesting, and so was the rest of his tour as it continues on. We followed him, and the follow-up is that, yes, indeed, he is meeting a lot of resistance. Hey, when we come back, Rivian Trucks cutting their workforce by 10%, Mercedes-Benz cutting their production of some EVs. Looks like the Jedi may be coming back. We'll be talking with an author who says that global warming may be actually a convenient warming. We'll be back.